Well, hello and welcome back to the Divine Manifesting Show with Christy Whitman and Rebecca Grotto. Hey, Rebecca.
Hey, Christy. How are you?
Oh, I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing so well. Doing really well.
Good.
Yeah, we're both just riding high off of the completion of our self-love program, and it was just a whopping, incredible success, and it was lovely to hear everybody's feedback, and so
I think
I'm still riding that wave, Christy.
Oh, it's amazing.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, it really is.
I really want to just say before we get started, thank you so much to you, because you're just unbelievable, and I know you set this whole thing up, and you've kind of been my teacher in this regard, and I'm going to get all misty, but I just so appreciate you, Christy, and you are really, truly a master at what you do, and it has been just a complete honor to be on board with you, so thank you. I know the song in my heart is just, thank you, Christy, thank you, Christy.
Oh, my God, you expect me to talk now after that? I'm like over here just like a fuss. Thank you, Rebecca.
You're
so sweet, so honoring. I swear to God, you're the best.
Well, it's absolutely
an honor to be with you, too, and just to do the amazing work that we've been doing.
Yes.
And I continue to, I just feel so blessed.
Yes.
This month of Thanksgiving, I don't like to just think, you know, of that special Thursday,
exactly.
The third Thursday of the month as Thanksgiving. I like to think of every day as Thanksgiving, but especially,
yes.
You know, the whole month of November is a special month for me, obviously, because it's my birthday, and my birthday actually falls on Thanksgiving this year, so it's like I'm just so grateful to be alive, and, you know, right back at you. I'm so grateful to be working with you.
Well,
and,
your birthday falls on Thanksgiving, and we're so thankful that you're on the planet, Christy, and I just, my blessing is that you were born!
Oh, thank you.
I know, people are probably like throwing up in their mouths right now.
Yeah, they're like, okay, can you get on with the show, please?
But, gratitude is awesome. And I'm so blessed because I have you in my life. So I'm so grateful.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Well, I'm also feeling very blessed because, like I said, we've just been having amazing guests come on the show. And today is no different from that. I'm just going to give a quick little blur about Paul McCormick. He has written a book called The Secrets of the Miracle Inside, and he has led a phenomenal life. He's just one of these people that just kind of born with the information, I think, because he found success early in his life. He started with nothing, and by the age of 27, became an owner of a multimillion-dollar company, and at age 29, became CEO. So, and then the next 10 years, he helped entrepreneurs develop and grow wealth, and at the same time, coached over 100 of his own employees on how to achieve success. So, but even with financial success, he was emotionally and spiritually bankrupt, and I've been there, done that, where everything in your outer world seems like everything is just so great, but you feel so empty inside. And he eventually learned how to harness the power of these three principles he's going to talk to us about today to bring success to all areas of his life. And after 17 years, he walked away from his multi-million-dollar career and now writes and speaks about how you can find peace, happiness, good health, and financial prosperity. So I would like to welcome to the Divine Manifesting Show, author Paul McCormick.
Well, thank you for having me on the show. It's an honor to be here today with both of you. And I think today's going to be a very fun and exciting show because we're talking about two of the most incredible topics there are to talk about, and that's spirituality and financial prosperity.
Well, those are my favorite topics. And food, Paul. If you could somehow weave in food, you've got...
I was going to say sex for me, but that's okay. If you want to pick food, that's good.
So we're just going to grow your list over on our end, okay? Is that okay with you?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll talk about the first two items, and you talk about that third one.
That's the fourth. Christy's doing sex over here, okay? So, okay, did anybody mention to you that we're wildly immature? And this is
just... Yeah. Well, I don't think I warned him.
They didn't mention that, but it's okay. But
okay.
I understand. Listen, Christy, it's your 1 month. This week is your 1 month anniversary, isn't it?
For what?
Is this week your 1 month anniversary?
For my wedding?
For your wedding?
Oh, for wedding.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
So you could talk about that third topic as well.
I'm actually, my attracting your ideal relationship course is starting tonight, so I always love when it's always sad at the end. We just finished up one of our courses, the self-love course, and it's always kind of bittersweet at the end, but then I get all ramped up for a new course, and that's what's tonight. So it's a lot of people looking for love.
But I'm a little offended that he didn't bounce that one over to me. You notice that he kept the food in my court. The pictures
hey, you said food.
The picture's out there loud and clear. Like, unless you have a box of chocolates, just don't even come knocking at this door, okay? So, all right, there should have been a disclosure to our show, Christy. That
Yeah, exactly.
Immaturity big time.
We like to have fun, Paul, so hopefully you're up for that.
Absolutely.
Well, welcome to the show. It is so exciting to have you on, and I'm sure this is just a topic that has everybody's ears perked up. So, yeah, welcome.
Well, you know,
and before we get started, I just want to say that if there's any listeners are out there and would like to ask Paul a question once we get started, you are online, so you have the numbers in front of you, and you can call in to Station 2 numbers at any time. You'll be brought in, and you can ask Paul any questions you like. So go ahead, Paul.
That'd be great. In fact, if you call in, I'll send you my book for free. So I encourage you to call in. And, you know, I don't know how many I'll give away, but everybody who calls in and we actually put on the line to speak, I'll send you a book for free. So
perfect.
That is very generous of you, Paul. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, the topic about money and spirituality, and, I've been doing a talk the last month on different radio stations, and I've been talking about spirituality and the law of attraction, how they go together. And the question is, can you be spiritual and still love money? Because those two ideas seem to be almost a dichotomy, opposites. The way we're brought up, thinking about happiness, emotional and spiritual happiness in our lives, and then thinking about money as something totally separate. And it's almost like we're taught through our society and the way we're raised to think that the people who love money are the opposite of the people who are emotionally and spiritually happy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I really want to dispel that, because I believe that's a myth, and that's the farthest thing from the truth. And,
but for
centuries,
we've had so many, beliefs around the vows of poverty, and also it is very so deep-seated into our religions and our spiritual beliefs. You know, you're just really hitting such a key point that I think you're absolutely right. That is so ingrained in us to think that, poverty, that vow of poverty, goes along with selflessness and all of that. So,
Many people feel, and it's, they're not even, probably most people aren't even aware, they kind of sabotage their own financial success because they want to be a spiritual person, but at the same time, somewhere within inside of them, they're sabotaging, having and creating a lot of money because their parents brought them up to think that, money is the root of all evil, or that, it's selfish and greedy to have more than your share, or, whatever those, money doesn't grow on trees, all those, limiting beliefs that most of us grew up with, and we don't even realize how, our parents and their parents before them shaped our reality right now, and it's up to us to adopt new beliefs, because it's not correct. I mean, as a spiritual person, we are all available to the abundance that's of the universe. There is no lack, there is no limitation, and, we can have or do anything we want, and just because you want to have a lot of money does not mean that you're not a spiritual person. When you have a lot of money, you can actually do a lot of spiritual things. You can help a lot of people. You can, create organizations. I know Rebecca said that she's wanted to, help animals, and that's one of the reasons that she wants to be financially free and really, have a lot of money. And I'm more with the children type of thing. I want to, create a foundation for children. And the more money you have, the more you can give back in the world. I mean, I think of Oprah Winfrey, and I mean, she's one of the wealthiest people on the planet, and look how much she gives back. I mean, it's amazing. And, she's by no means a greedy person, or, it's like what she says, she can only buy so many shoes, and after that's done and you buy all the diamonds and the shoes you want, it's like, okay, well, what's next? I mean, you naturally, as a, spiritual person, want to give back, so.
Absolutely.
Well, that's the same experience that I've come across in my 17 years working in my career. I work with hundreds of entrepreneurs and investors and wealthy individuals, and I found that they were the least greedy people that I knew. They were the most giving people, and the reason they were able to create wealth was because they had this idea of helping other people. And they do it in ways that makes income for them. But they would create value for the world or create value for people and then give that value to them. And then through the process, through their businesses or through their investments, they would also, you know, create wealth for themselves through that. But the first things they were doing was stepping out and creating value for other people, whether it was through development of real estate, creating office spaces and places for people to live and work and play. That's how real estate investors, for example, create value for a lot of people, and they create value for them before, long before they're going to see a reward for themselves. Mm-hmm. And I found that these people are the nicest people, and it's contrary to the image that we have sometimes through television or through our upbringing of what the wealthy individuals are as the mean landlord type person. And so, like you mentioned, Oprah Winfrey, same ideas. These are the nicest people, and they're doing great amounts of good in the world. And they're doing it because they have financial resources to do it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as I became successful because I had understood at an early age how to use some of the principles that we're going to speak about today to develop career success and financial success. So I became an owner of my multimillion-dollar company when I was 27 years old. But through that process, I wasn't happy because I was looking for money to create to fill a void in my life that I had.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, we grew up with, you know, all these environmental influences that cause us to feel the way we do about ourselves. And I was looking for love. I was looking to feel worthy, and I was looking to earn my way to love. And I saw that my career success and the money that I could earn was a way to prove to myself that I was worthy and valuable.
Good enough.
And, you know, so many people are in that same situation, whether it's through our looks and looking, you know, thin and being fit or making a lot of money. We are trained to think that that's what makes us valuable.
Right. We go to the outside to try to fill something that's on the inside. That's absolutely... Boy, I think we all do that, don't we, Paul?
We all do that. But so many of us never attain that position we're looking for, so we're always on this journey trying to get there. So in a career standpoint or in a financial situation, people always feel that they're behind financially, and they're always trying to climb that corporate ladder to get the next raise or to get that next promotion. In my case, I climbed it quickly, and I got to the top. I was the CEO. I was the boss of the bosses. I had nowhere else to go. I mean, I was at the top. And so in my case, I got there and then realized this isn't it. This is I've been chasing the lie in a way. And so it was a huge emotional letdown at that point because it hadn't solved the problems in my life that I wanted and hoped that it would solve. And so I had money, but that's why I say I was emotionally and spiritually bankrupt. Mm-hmm. And I had always believed in God, and I had grown up with a strong Christian influence. And so I had that part of spirituality in my life. But during that time of my life, there was a lot of things that was breaking down. It's kind of like the universe or God kind of works to bring all these things to chaos and kind of break you down at one time. And so I had this emotional disappointment when I was at that financial position in my life. And at the same time, I was struggling with having an autistic child and learning how to deal with that and seeing him struggle through his own depression, and then I was depressed because of it. And I was also struggling with emotional relationship struggles with business partners at the time, because we have different ways of looking at business, and when you're in a relationship in business, it's almost like being married to these people. Except there's a whole bunch of them. So it's like being married to 10 different wives in a way. And so relationships were a struggle. I was dealing with the autism with my son. I was having this emotional letdown because, wow, here I am. I'm at the top, and I'm still not happy. I don't feel worthy. I don't feel good about myself. And because of all those stresses in my life, it was taking its toll physically in my life as well. So I was chronically fatigued. Pretty bad for about 2 years. And that's where I really embarked on this new journey to figure out there's got to be something a whole lot more. Got to be something a whole lot more than money and all these outward things that I've been chasing. And there also has to be something a lot more spiritually that I'm missing, because I had followed my Christianity all my life, and I had felt a pretty strong connection with my sense of what God was. But during this time of several years of real difficult time in my life, I couldn't find God in my life in the way that I had previously found God in my life. And so it was a real time of questioning, really, my faith at that time as well. And that's when I really turned inward and found a totally different spiritual connection of something inside of me that's bigger than me, something that's different than the religious God that I learned about, but more of a God that's a part of us. And so I learned to realize that God really never abandoned me, because God never really was separate from me in the first place. And so I rebuilt my belief system, and I was able to find how to create happiness and peace inside myself by connecting with that thing that's bigger than me, that's a part of my spirituality, my belief in what God really is. And so I learned through several years of process to understand a new sense of happiness and peace in my life, and realized that I can create it anytime I want, that it's not dependent upon the circumstances in my life. And at that point, I had really felt like this is like a breakthrough. This is like this is a miracle, because I learned how to create happiness. And previously, I had learned how to create wealth. But now I had learned how to create happiness. And they're really some of the same principles that are used.
Cool.
And it was at that point that I thought, now what do I really want to do with my life? Because I know how to be happy, and I know how to be wealthy no matter what situation I'm in. And that's where I decided I want to help other people to improve their lives in the same way. So I want to write, I want to speak, I want to talk on the radio, on TV, and write my book. And so that's when I wrote my book, and that's when I walked away. I ended up walking away from my career in order to do this, to help other people find what I found and to help improve their lives.
Well, Paul, you and I have very similar paths. This is Christy. You know, same kind of thing. No matter what success I achieved, I was never happy, even if it was financial success. You know, just it was always, okay, well, if this didn't give it to me, maybe it's this. And then you go after that, you get it, and it's kind of like, okay, well, that was empty too. So maybe if I go get it here. And, you know, I like to think of, I think Wayne Dyer said, you know, good equals God, God equals good. And so it's just a matter of feeling good, or what I like to say, you know, feeling joy. And it truly is, you know, we've talked about this on the show several times, but, you know, it's not, your joy is not outside of you. It's within you. And it's when you can connect with what that joy is, it's, you know, and being in the moment and being able to feel and express that joy, that's truly what life is all about. That joy is your purpose. And it's not becoming a multimillion-dollar, you know, person or an author or a best-selling author or, you know, whatever it is that you want to or choose to do in your life. It's really not that. It's just being able to live every moment in a place of feeling good and feeling God and feeling joy. So that's beautiful. Well, so what are your suggestions? You said it's the same formula for happiness as it is for wealth. Can you give us some examples of that, or give us some, you know, some tips and those type of things?
Yeah, I think one of the things, you know, one of the principles is, I talk about three principles sometimes, and the first one is to recognize that there's invisible goodness in all things. So in all the situations that you have in your life, we normally categorize some of those as being good and some of those as being bad. We have good things happening, we have bad mm-hmm. things happening. And we wish we could get rid of all the bad things and just have all the good things happening. And what I learned to recognize is, I believe that all things are part of a divine plan for our lives. That there are no accidents, there are no coincidences. All the things happening in our lives are orchestrated according to a plan that's a good, on-purpose plan. And therefore, all the things that are happening in the world around us are good things. And if we see them otherwise, it's just because we're looking at them wrong. And that's something I had to learn in my life, because at the time I was looking at all these things with my son's autism struggles, with my relationship difficulties, with my spirituality difficulties, with my health difficulties. And at the time, these all looked like terribly difficult things for me. And in fact, it got to the point where I felt that I could no longer cope with it. And I had to make this choice. Either life really is bad and not worth going on, or life is really all good and I'm just looking at it all wrong.
And I think the problem that happens... Oh, sorry, Christy.
Go ahead, Rebecca.
Yeah, I think the problem that happens... I'm a therapist, Paul, and you know, I think what happens with most people is they become very depressed because they use that perception of good and bad. And then, as with all of us, you know, there are things that are going easy and effortless, and then there are struggles and, you know, and opportunities and crises and all those, like you said, the chaos that's going on. I think for a lot of people, when they have the quote-unquote bad things happening in their life and they have that perception that bad things are happening in my life because I haven't found the way to see the grace, to look beyond, you know, what is the obvious and to find the grace in that situation, they then equate it to, then I must be a bad person. Why am I being punished? Why is, you know, why are so many bad things happening to me? And I end up seeing people in my office with that belief that I'm a failure, you know, or I'm a victim to all of this. And it really does take that change in perception that, as you're saying, you know, look beyond. You're seeing this too close. It's all good. One of my favorite Ram Dass expressions is, it's all God in drag. You just have to look for, you know, you just have to kind of look for the God behind the, you know, quote-unquote crises. And so, but my point was, that if we do see that bad things are happening to us, then it's very easy to take the next logical step and to feel victimized or to feel punished by that or to feel that we're deserving of bad things, and then depression and anxiety and all those, you know, emotional states of being end up setting in. Yeah.
And I really don't think that people get it, that, you know, it really is, and I mean, they probably get it intellectually, but they, on an emotional level, that it really is the perception. It really isn't about changing the circumstances, situation, events in your life. It's changing the way you perceive them.
Okay.
Because, like you said, I mean, I try to look at that everything in the universe is happening, you know, for a reason, and that reason is there to serve me. So if I've attracted a certain situation, I can perceive it as either this is a good situation or a bad situation, but I choose to think of it as a good situation because of the fact that I know I'm going to learn something here. I know I'm going to learn something about myself, or just the fact that I can find the good in it,
mm-hmm.
you know, the simple things. So,
and that takes some training. I know a lot of people
absolutely.
On the show have heard me say, you know, I took a 48-state road trip with my kids. Some call it insane. Some call it, you know, inspired. I think it was a little combination of both. But so many hard, challenging situations would happen, whether the RV would break down or we were in just a perpetual state of loss, you know, and none of us had navigational skills, so much more for the adventure. But, you know, it would be so easy to see, you know, things happening to us as a, you know, the negative situation. I mean, and if we had allowed our minds to take us there for long enough, we would have been heading west. We would have been heading back home towards California. But it takes a lot of training and discipline to, like you said, Christy, to really to sit in the crossroads, to sit in the mystery of, I wonder why we're being directed over here, or I wonder why this is happening. Perhaps this is, you know, telling us to slow down and enjoy, or, you know, to really look at, again, I always say, look for the grace in the crisis and in the chaos. Look for the opportunity to grow, and if you really come at it from that perspective, you move very quickly from victim. I'm so victimized. I always tell people it's that Nancy Kerrigan syndrome. Why? Why is this happening to me? And oh my gosh, do I have an inner Nancy Kerrigan? You know, it's like, why do bad things happen to good people? You know, and it's like if you can really just catch that part of yourself and go, no, why? You know, like you said, Christy, the universe is only here to serve us. It's only here for me to, you know, to move me along my path. So whatever is happening, it's here for a divine reason. And then you quickly shift from victim to victor. You feel like, oh, I'm being so supported, and I'm so glad this happened. And, I mean, having that perspective of being able to say, you know, gosh, even in a month from now, we're going to look back on this and laugh. This is going to be one of our funniest, you know, life stories. It just makes you feel so much better. It makes you feel less victimized. And so, you know, from the law of attraction standpoint, that's a good thing. Yeah.
Well, I find that there's two things that happen when you practice these principles. And this first one, we're saying, you know, look for the invisible goodness
uh-huh.
in all situations. And I say it's invisible because, you know, so many times it looks bad, but to believe that there is really something good about it. And when you begin practicing that, two things happen. The first thing is that emotionally, you can create, you can remove all the stress in your life and feel good instantly when you get to the point where you can consistently practice this behavior to change your perspective of things. And the second thing that happens is, what I've noticed is, it's almost like little miracles begin to show up in your life when you consistently start practicing this behavior. And I'll give you an example. Because right now, you know, incredible things happen in my life. And I've been practicing these principles for a long time, so some really big and neat things consistently happen in my life. But when I first started, they were maybe on a smaller scale. And when I was about 23 years old, it was right after I just got married. I was right in my first job, and we didn't have any money. We were dirt poor, and I was driving this 24-year-old car that kept breaking down on me, and it was so bad that I even had a spare carburetor in the trunk because it would break down on the side of the road, and I would get out and swap carburetor parts and try to get it going again. And this particular day, I was very stressed about my whole financial situation because I wish I could have a better car. I wish I could have a better house. I wish I could make more money at my job. And I was really stressing, thinking, I'll be happy when all these things happen.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be happy when I have more money, when I can get a new car, and when I can get a new house. Then I'll be happy. And so I went to bed that night, and I was all stressed about it, and I got up the next morning, and I was on the job driving my car the next day, and I remember where I was driving on the road at a particular spot, and I had this epiphany. It was like a revelation came to me, a moment of clarity. And I learned that this principle, that if you're going to think about that you can't be happy until something happens in the future, like when you get the raise or when you get the new car, if I'm going to base my happiness on a future condition, then I'm running the risk that I may never find happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can never really get to the future. The future is always the future.
It always stays one. We talk about this in our book, Paul. That's so great. I'm all excited that you're talking about this. Because that came to me a while back also, that when you're always in the I'll be happy when, from the law of attraction standpoint, you always keep it just one step ahead of you. Your happiness, by definition, always stays one step ahead of you. So it's such a huge epiphany when people get that.
Because you can only live your life right now in the present moment.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so that's what I realized at that point in time. And so I also recognize that if I can find a way to be happy right now with what I have right now, even though I didn't have all the things I wanted, if I can find a way to be happy right now, then I know I can do the same thing tomorrow and the next day, next week. Then I have guaranteed myself that I can be happy the rest of my life.
Exactly.
And so I did that. I mean, instantly when I took that perception at that moment in time, the stress left me. I felt relieved. I knew that everything was going to work out good and that I would eventually have all those things that I desired. And so the first benefit is that immediately I felt this relief emotionally, and I felt peaceful, and I felt happy. But the amazing thing is, and this is how I say little miracles start to show up when you do this consistently in your life, is that it took me about 30 minutes to get back to my office. And as soon as I got back to my office, the receptionist told me that my boss wanted to see me in his office. So I walked into his office, and he said, "You know, Paul, I've been thinking, and I just decided that today I'm going to give you a $3,000 raise."
Oh, beautiful. That's good.
And nobody else was getting raises.
That's good.
I mean, we were 6 months away from anybody else getting raises. This was like a mid-year special thing just for me.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, that is bizarre, because just 30 minutes ago, I had made this conscious choice that I'm going to trust that everything's good. And that I'm going to be happy now, even though I don't have the finances that I want yet. And so the first benefit was this peace came over me. And then 30 minutes later, I'm actually getting a huge financial reward.
You know what, Paul? On our road trip, we practiced that so much. And as you're talking about that story, You know, we had so many little situations like that where we would be just struggled, stuck. Everything seems to be going wrong, you know. It's like, and the minute we would all just make the conscious decision to change our, and I don't even want to say just like, you know, slap on a happy face or change our attitudes, but really sit down and make a conscious choice to enjoy where we were in this moment, as such as it is, just as it is, not when it gets better. It's amazing, as you say, like instantly miraculous things would happen. Like it's almost like the clouds would part and the sun would come shining through. But the point is, we weren't doing it for that purpose. We were just making a conscious decision that, you know, such as it is, our life as it is in this moment is absolutely perfect. We're all here. We're all happy. You know, it's all good, you know, whatever it is. And when you just feel that, you almost surrender that need to have anything different, and that's when the miracles come in. So it's such a great thing that you're reminding us to be in that space of, I guess it's just really the energy of miracles. I don't know.
Sometimes the trick is, you know, how do you actually convince yourself? How do you flip your emotions? I mean, it is difficult when you're sitting down to pay the bills and you don't have enough money in the checkbook to pay the bills.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're emotionally at that spot of feeling, you know, I'm out of money, I've got to write the bills, what do I do? And then I'm sitting here saying, well, you know, just flip your emotions around and feel happy and everything will be okay. How do you do that? I mean, sometimes what I say is it's almost like you have to imagine it. You have to play make believe a little bit,
uh-huh.
And imagine what good could happen. What are the things? And that's the second principle, is imagine the possibilities of
mm-hmm.
what could happen.
Exactly.
Because sometimes it looks like everything's happening to your disadvantage, and you can't see on a logical level maybe how you're going to get out of it. How, you know, when you don't have money in the checkbook and you've got to sit down and pay bills, logically, there's nothing you can do. You're out of money.
Mm-hmm.
But that's when you can practice the second principle and imagine the possibilities of what might change very soon for you. And that's where I would say, you know, right now I don't have money in my checkbook. And I'm okay with that. In fact, I'm going to try to be happy with where I am right now. And the only reason I can be happy with that is because I believe that it's all about to change. I don't even know how, but I believe that my financial situation is about to change and that I'm going to begin creating more wealth in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And you might even imagine specific ways that could happen. Maybe it's through a selling something that you have, through a business thing that you want to start up, maybe through some joint venture with a friend, doing something on the internet, selling something on eBay. I don't know what it is. There's all kinds of ways that people can create value and therefore create wealth in their life. But you can imagine the possibilities. And when you do, it helps you have peace. The second thing it does is it helps you actually identify some actions that you could start taking.
Because
mm-hmm. you're imagining some possibilities.
Right.
Of how you could begin changing the situation in your life, and that action is very important many times for the change to actually come about.
Absolutely. Well, also too, like what you're describing it's a matter of being, you know, open and expanded or closed and constricted. And if you're focused on your problems and or that you don't have enough money in your checking account to pay the bills, you know, you're so caught up in the problem and the negativity of it that you don't allow for the inspirational ideas to come to you that would allow you to create more money or to, you know, create a business venture or, you know, to get you to see the solution and maybe be inspired and take inspired action like you're talking about. So, it is. It's the state of mind. And when you're in that state of mind of being connected to the possibilities, all that is possible, which is basically God. I mean, all that is possible is God. All that is possible is pure potentiality, universal force. I mean, whatever that is, it's pure potential energy. And, you know, that's when you connect with that, that's when those inspirations can come to you, and then you can see beyond the problem, quote-unquote problems, and find a solution and get inspiration.
But I think, exactly, Christine, I think the first thing that, you know, you're talking about, Paul, is we have to recognize that our perceptions are everything. The way that we choose to perceive, the way that we actually are walking through life perceiving is everything, and to really look at what is clouding my perception. And, you know, you and I, Christy, have written the book on competition. So often we're measuring ourselves against something else. So, you know what, if we really stop to look at our lives are amazing. You know, we have a roof over our head here in America. We have plenty of food on the table. Nobody's you know, but the thing is, our lives look miserable in comparison to the celebrities, or our lives look miserable in comparison to our neighbors. And, you know, so there's so many things that cloud our perception. And, you know, before we can even maybe sit down and imagine the possibilities, I think sometimes we need to really, really take inventory of the things that are working in our life. When I work with people, I'm amazed at how their minds are so trained to go to what's not working. They're like in constant failure analysis mode. It's like, well, this could happen. This is not working for me. And if you look at 1,000 things that are going splendidly in their lives, their children are healthy and strong, and everything's just going just fine, but they have 10 pounds on them. And so, therefore, their whole lives are crap because they have, you know, 10 pounds and they got in an argument with their husband. And I'm, you know, so many of us just are so laser-focused on what's not working or where we need to be, and we really fail to place a lot of attention and energy on the brilliance that's happening in our lives right now, the fact that we, you know, even the wording that we use. I work with a lot of people who they'll say, oh, as soon as I get off the phone, I have to go clean my house, and I have to go rake leaves, and I have to do these things, and I'm thinking, change your wording. You have a house you get to clean. You have a beautiful backyard you get to rake leaves in. You know, you have children you get to go pick up from school, and you have all these things. You know, so it's like if we really were to start vibrating in that space of, look what I do have. I have a healthy, strong body. I have, you know, beautiful, healthy children, you know, even if they are a little bit mouthy or whatever it is, or, you know, even if they can't get a good grade in school, at least they're healthy and strong. You know, it's like really look at the what is going right, and then maybe if we could just, you know, like you and I started this show talking about, have a little gratitude, maybe it would allow us to shift into, and then imagine what you could have. Imagine the possibilities and the potential, because it's so fun. I'm thinking that's what kids do. They sit and they daydream, and they get so excited about, you know, all the things that are coming to them and all the things that they're going to do in their life. And it's, that's just such a fun space to be in. So
And it's our natural state to be
exactly.
in. I mean, and that's just the thing is that, you know, once you sit in a place where I really want a bigger house, okay, then you get the bigger house, then it's, okay, now I want the different car, or now I want the, you know, a marriage. So now you get the marriage, and now I want a baby. It's like we are growth-seeking beings. We always, you know, want something else. We're creative beings. It's not like we ever say, okay, I'm finally done. I have the 2.5 kids. I have my house. I have my car. I have my success. I am done. I can now die. I mean, it just doesn't work like that. I got into this beautiful house that we just built, and I've decided, you know what? I like a little bit more closet space. So the next house I want more closet space. Does it mean I'm not appreciating what I have right now? Absolutely not. But your mind automatically goes into, you know, creative mode, and that's exciting. The catch-22, though, is it when you go into, this house sucks because it just doesn't have enough closet space, and this is what's wrong with it, and so now, you know, blah, 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 blah. It is perception, being able to stay in the space of being so appreciative and so grateful for what you have, and then imagining what else is coming, because we're going to do that anyway. And the thing is that we assign it outside of ourselves as far as our happiness and fulfillment is be happy and fulfilled right now, but then realize as a creative being, you can always attract something new.
Exactly.
Paul, do you find, though, that when people start imagining the possibilities, they go to victim? Because as Christy was talking, I just started thinking, I bet you if you were to assign, you know, imagine the possibilities, how many people would sit down and feel victimized because they would take it from that space of being like a child and imagining all the potential and possibilities that are out there that are coming their way, and they would look at it as a, aw, you know, now you're just teasing me. Now you're just dangling this carrot that I can never have. So I'm wondering if you know, do you find that people actually go to victim and end up feeling disempowered because now they're thinking of all the things out there that they're never going to get?
Well, that's the trap. That's the trap that most people naturally fall in all by themselves already. So what I'm trying to do is raise awareness to say, imagine the possibilities of all the fabulous good things that are about to happen to you. And in fact, what are steps that you can even take to begin moving yourself in that direction?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because we always are looking. I mean, naturally, we look for the disasters to keep coming our way and that we're a victim.
Uh-huh.
And I'm saying when you believe that everything's good, that everything in your life is good that's happening to you, and you just might not see why yet, and so start imagining what some of the possibilities are to see how everything in your life is actually something good. I'll give you an example.
Yes, that'd be great.
Because even where I am right now, I still get tempted to fall back into that habit of feeling like a victim. And it was about 2 months ago, I was selling out all of my stock in the business. And it was about a $1 million deal that I was doing. And there was a lot of technical issues about the sale and how it was going to work. And I was in partnership with like 8 or 10 other people. And they're people I'd known a long time and have fabulous relationships with them. But part of the deal, I felt that I was going to get shortchanged out of some money, like maybe $50,000. And I thought, that's just not going to be fair. And I started to stew about it in my mind. And I thought, boy, that's just not fair. I deserve that. I mean, that's not right if that's taken out of the deal. And so I started to kind of imagine, right, what we normally do is like, I'm a victim, like, you know, we're going to have this argument. And I started to go through in my head the argument that we're going to have now and what I would say and what they're going to say. We're not going to agree on this thing. And I really was getting upset with it. I mean, this is where I'm at today. You know, this was 2 months ago.
Uh-huh.
And we fall into this trap of kind of like imagining the worst thing that could happen. And then imagining this argument and then the relationship's going to fall apart. And I caught I spent about an hour really in turmoil, sort of in this mindset that I was having with myself. I was really having this internal argument with myself. And then I caught myself and thought, no, this is going down the entire wrong path, because the more that I imagine this of happening, the more that I'm sending out energy to actually make this thing happen exactly like I'm envisioning it. And I want to stop it right here. And so I practiced these principles to say, you know, I don't see what the goodness in this, but I'm going to believe that there's something good going to come of this exact situation.
Mm-hmm.
And then I imagined the possibilities, and I thought, well, so what if I do lose $50,000 on this one deal? Even if I feel that that's unfair, I'm trusting. And that's the third principle, is to trust the energy of your thoughts and to trust the universe or to trust God that everything's going to work out to your benefit. And so I practice imagining, okay, maybe I'll lose this money and maybe that wasn't fair, but I'm going to imagine some possibilities and I'm going to trust that it'll come back to me. Maybe not on this deal, maybe not on the next deal, but eventually down the road, it'll all be made back to me. And I don't have to worry that I'm losing $50,000. I'm going to trust that the universe is going to make that up to me tenfold, you know. And so immediately, I felt peaceful. Immediately, I let it go. And I thought, even if it happens like I'm imagining it, it's going to be okay. I'm not going to fight it. I'm not even going to argue, because the relationships are too important to me. If the partnership that I was dealing with felt like that's the way it needs to be, I'm just going to say, okay, I disagree, and here's why, but I'll roll with it. Well, 2 days later, I get sent all the financial information. Now, what do you think? Let me ask you, do you think it included the $50,000 I was worried about?
Absolutely. That's so great.
What happened? Well, it definitely included the $50,000 I was worried about not getting.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, my goodness, here I was going down this path, stressing myself all out, imagining this whole argument that I was going to have with people that I cared about $50,000, and it was for nothing, because the deal didn't go that way.
Exactly.
They included the $50,000. And then, the miracle. I looked at the bottom line of this deal, and it was $400,000 more than I thought.
Hmm.
Payment to me.
Wow.
And I thought, well, all the details of the deal look correct, because I'd gone through the numbers and I knew what they should be, except the summary is $400,000 too high.
Mm-hmm.
Which would be great if it was true, but I thought, it's obviously an error. And so I emailed to the guy who put the thing together, and he's working with all the accountants and the attorneys. And I said, all the details look fabulous, great, I'm happy with the whole deal. I said, but I think you got an error because in your summary it's $400,000 extra for some reason. I don't understand. And he writes back and he explained the whole thing, and he said, no, that's the deal. That's what we owe you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was worried about losing $50,000. And $50,000 was in the deal, plus an extra $400,000 that I never expected.
Yes, that was your reward.
That was the miracle.
That was, yes, exactly.
And that's where I say, when you consistently practice things like this, where you trust that everything happening in your life is good, even when you don't know why.
Well, you know what it is, too, Paul, and this happens in relationships, too. We just had a situation, Christy and I, on our class, where somebody was saying, but, you know, gosh, when somebody's betrayed you, you know, it's almost like they have to feel that they have to be the cosmic cop. You know, how are they going to get their comeuppance if they've done me wrong? And we were saying sort of the same thing. It's like, you know, let the universe be the cop. Let the you don't need to be the cosmic cop to everybody else's life. It's hard not to when you feel you've been taken advantage or something's unjust or somebody has done something to you. It's such a natural inclination to want to take charge of that and to get them back. But, you know, it comes at such a high price. And what I could feel as you were talking is that space of just let it go. Just let it be. Trust in the universe that it will work itself out. This is a fair and just universe. It will make sure at some point that the score is all even. You don't need to waste your precious energy, you know, kind of bitching and moaning about the whole thing. And I know when I've been in situations like that also, Paul, it feels so good to be able to say, you know, I don't need to be out there, you know, kind of always fighting and always, you know, trying to get it for the scorecard to be balanced and even. I can just let go and trust that it all comes out in the wash. I'm being loved. I'm being guided. I'm taken care of. And again, it seems it's funny, but it almost puts you back in that childlike mode again, where my parents will take care of this. My divine mother and father will not let me suffer. And then all I have to do is just be peaceful and happy and enjoy this beautiful life that I've been given. So, you know, it's like, again, I'm thinking the law of attraction. Then we're back in our state of well-being, and then we're attracting from a better place than when we're all, you know, constricted and clenched up and angry and betrayed or feeling ripped off. And, boy, that's not a good place to be attracting from. So that is a wonderful principle, is to be able to sit in that place of, you know, feeling such a deep and profound trust with the way things are in this world. And, you know, it's almost a feeling of just let it guide you, let it take over. Is that what you're talking about? Is that what
I think that's half the battle right there. I don't think that's 100% of the battle. I think emotionally, to be at a good spot emotionally and spiritually, that's exactly what we're talking about. But to see actual financial results come into your life, if that's one of the things you're seeking, I think it's half of the battle. I think the other half is to then trust yourself and believe that you're worthy enough to go take action to move you towards what you want.
Hmm.
And because, you know, the examples I gave you just now were sort of like almost like miraculous things that happened that just sort of came to me. But most of the other times I see that it's me having, you know, believing that good things are happening to me even when I can't see it, and looking, imagining what the possibilities are, and then taking action in my life to move me towards those possibilities. And then they blossom and become reality. And so action most of the time is like a demonstration of your belief. If you believe something powerful enough, you'll take action in your life to move yourself towards what you desire.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, you know, I was giving a talk about 4 or 5 weeks ago, and I was in the station for a Seattle radio station, and I was talking about this idea of, you know, can you be spiritual and still love money? In fact, can you go chase money and find how to build wealth quite easily in your life? And I was teaching that you can create wealth in your life even if you don't have anything right now. And you do it by more than just the things we spoke about today. We do it by taking action, too. And I was suggesting that there are ways, that there are so many myths about money that we believe in that, you know, if I don't have money, I'm never going to be able to create money. Because people think you have to have money to make more money. And that's one of the myths. And so I was teaching that, you know, you can buy a $60,000 car without spending a dime of your money and without getting in debt. There's ways to do that. In fact, I'm doing it right now. Mm-hmm. And there are ways to buy pieces of real estate, for example, but I mean it could be anything, like $1 million piece of real estate. There are ways to buy those things and create office spaces for people to work in or apartments for people to live in. And to create value for people, there's ways to own real estate and create value for people without spending a dime of your own money, and you're getting income off those things as well. And I suggested that I can teach people how to buy a $60,000 car or buy $1 million piece of real estate without spending a dime of their own money. Because I've worked with hundreds of wealthy entrepreneurs who do it all the time. And I'm doing it myself. And I kind of offered this money test where, you know, I explained exactly how you do that and how I could walk people through the process. And then I asked the question at the end, what's your emotional reaction to that? Does it excite you or does it scare you? Or do you doubt it? Or the fourth one is, or are you just turned off by the whole idea of money? Because depending on the fears that we have in our life and the perceptions we have about ourselves, see, we all want more money, but when it comes time to, are you really willing to go do it, then that's where fear sort of creeps in and people are reluctant because they might not believe that it's possible for them to actually have what I just told them they could have.
Right.
And so out of that, people, you know, lots of callers called in and they asked if I would help them through a mentoring program or help teach them these principles. And so I'm putting together in January a free 6-week mentoring program. And you can go to my website and sign up for this if you're interested. And my website's www.thesecrets, that's plural, secretsinside.com, thesecretsinside.com. And sign up for my newsletter and put in the comment area that you want to be a part of the mentoring program if you're interested. But I'm going to be teaching people these principles that we're speaking about today, as well as giving some specific things people can do to take action in their life. Because I believe powerfully in this idea of the laws of attraction, but I also believe that part of that is to take action. It's like a farmer who plants a crop. He can believe that he's going to have a great big crop, but if he never buys the seed and plants the seed and works it, it never comes about. So these are some of the, you know, principles that we talked about today of getting your mindset in, believing that all things are good and imagining the possibilities. But the next step is also stepping out and taking some action sometimes to change your life in the way that you want. You know, I mean, it's all the things we've been talking about, whether it's getting the home you want or finding the relationship that you want. It takes some action to step out and begin moving yourself towards those things.
Right. Those are great.
Well, Paul, thank you so much for being on our show. We've got like a minute left. So, again, why don't you give the listeners your website again?
www.thesecretsinside.com.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. I know I've learned a lot myself, and it's always nice to be reminded of these principles because as much as you're on top of your game, it's always good to be reminded of these things. So thank you so much for being our guest today.
You're welcome.
And it was an absolute pleasure, Rebecca,
thank you, as always. Oh, thank you, Christy. Thank you, Paul. This was fantastic.
Well, you've been fantastic, too.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. So I wish you a blessed week, and thank you, everybody, for tuning in, and we will talk to you same time, same station next Tuesday at 1 o'clock Pacific and 4 o'clock Eastern. Thanks so much.
Bye.